This morning's scripture will come from Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 through 4. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is thy throne, and the earth is thy foot is my footstool. And where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of the contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I delighteth not.
We're thankful for your presence this morning. We just sang a very beautiful song. That song is one that fills our hearts and minds with the hope of the great joy of one day looking upon the Savior's face. You know, this journey that we're on right now in this life, it's a difficult one. There are so many challenges that we face, obstacles that we must, you know, work through. And there are choices that we make on a day-to-day basis that reflect or that will affect the outcome of our future. You know, where are we going to be for all of eternity? What kind of life are we going to be able to live here and now? It all depends upon the choices that we make on a regular basis. The passage that we just read from Isaiah chapter 66 conveys to us some thoughts from the Lord concerning the times which would come in the future, as he writes at this particular time, the worship that God would call upon his people to offer, that which he would accept, was very different from some that was being offered to him. And thus, those things that were being done were going to be rejected by God, as verse 3 points out. But what God is longing for, what God wants, is those who have the proper disposition toward him, those who choose the path of right, which begins within the heart. You see, if we want to be at the end destination, where God wants us to be, that eternal home of heaven, it begins within our hearts with an attitude, within a disposition that is right before God that will enable us to then live that life, make those choices based upon the right foundation. He says, but on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. We need to have humility of heart. We need to have a disposition that can be corrected by God, that can receive his guidance. One that will be willing to say, Lord, I'm wrong. Correct me. Lead me in your ways. Defeat me in my waywardness. Strengthen me in my weakness. Uphold me as I strive to walk according to your word. Because there will be times when God's people do depart from the truth, as he mentions, in those who do things that are not acceptable to God. They depart from the ways of God. That which they do is not acceptable to him. It's as if they were doing these vile and terrible things. Their way is not right before God. But he says, just as they have chosen their ways and their soul delights in their abomination, so will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. We have choices to make. And God wants us to choose those things that will enable him to grant us what he desires. For all of our children that we have been blessed to have in our lives, if we have children, we know of their great worth to us, their innate value. These are precious souls that we love, and our longing is naturally for their welfare, for their good, for their eternal salvation. And God, who is our Father, in ways that we cannot even comprehend, loves us with a love so deep, we can only try to understand it based upon that which He has done in the giving of His Son, in the things that He has shown in His care and His compassion for people, in the struggles of His people throughout history and His patience with them, in His deliverance given to them in times of trial and struggle. Our God loves us, and yet we must make the choices that enable Him to bless us, because if we choose to reject Him, reject His Word, reject His ways, there are certainly consequences, as the Lord speaks about here. He will bring upon us that which we do not desire. He says He'll bring their fears on them. You see, we can so live as to convince ourselves that what is wrong is right. Paul spoke about that when he wrote to the church in Thessalonica. They were going through various struggles, and he urged them to not be worried about and concerned about this idea that had been circulated that Christ had already come. He had not, in fact, because certain things had to take place. And in the midst of that discussion, he had mentioned those who, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because, he says, they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who what? Did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God wants to save all, but He's not going to keep you from doing what you want to do. If we want to do what is wrong, if we take pleasure in unrighteousness, if we want to follow the majority in this life, God is going to let us do that. And we can become so convinced that there's nothing wrong with that, that we'll believe that lie that we tell ourselves. Or we'll believe the lie that we hear from the people all around us that say, you know, everything's fine, you're good. And if we aren't willing to listen to what God says in His Word and accept the truth that is often described as what pierces the soul, what is often painful to hear, then we won't be saved. Because the truth and our willingness to follow it and live it is what enables us to be saved. Because that leads us to Christ, where we find the forgiveness through His shed blood. We, living in the grace of God, can then, by continual obedient faith, access that grace on a continual basis and be those who live with hope of eternal life. But you see, we can choose to deviate from that path, as God had to deal with over and over again with His people long ago. Today, we're going to talk about a few things relating to choice. We're going to talk about choices for the church. We're going to talk about choices for youth. And we'll talk about choices for nations. These are things vitally important for us as Christians. Think about choices for the church. When Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, he did so reminding them to make a choice relating to their focus and their emphasis in life. Beginning in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." What Paul is there doing by the Holy Spirit is telling them the right choice to make. He's saying, choose to set your mind, set your affection, set your longing and your heart's desire upon heavenly things, spiritual things, the things that are above. Don't choose to set your desire on worldly and earthly things. John told us that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. If we love the things that are of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the vain pride of life, These things, he says, are not of the Father, they are of the world. The world is passing away and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. We want that. Abide forever. So caution is given to us here in this passage. And in the verses that follow there in Colossians chapter 3, after he says, you set your mind on things above, not on the earth, he goes on to show them about the danger in choosing a certain kind of lifestyle, a certain way of living that would be spiritually fatal. He says, there are all these things, verse 5, that you are to rid from your life. Put them to death is specifically what he says. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You've got to get rid of these things because, notice, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So, here are people that once lived this way as a lifestyle. They were always living this way. That was their customary practice, to walk in these sins. Now they've been washed, they've been cleaned, but apparently they're stumbling, they're falling back into these things. So he says, what you've got to do is have this mindset that this is put to death. This is crucified in terms of it affecting my life. I cannot do these things any longer. I must have this, no more a little open back door to let it creep in and once in a while I'll do this. But I'm dead to this practice, this sin. And we have to have as a church the desire, the intent to be a people who have put sin to death in our lives. How will we know what sin is? Well, we've got to consider and consult God's Word. His Word is the basis of determining what is right and wrong. And in this great book that we have for us the guidance and the direction we need living in this century in which we do, so far removed from the days in which this was written and yet just as applicable, just as able to provide the answers to questions in a technologically advanced and modern age. We can know what's right and what's wrong, what specifically we should not do and refrain from doing by consulting God's Word. But the point is, we have to choose to be open-hearted toward whatever God says and conveys through His Word and put to death anything that is contrary to the will of God in our lives, so that we instead can reflect goodness and holiness. That he says in verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So we as God's people need to choose to focus on that which is right and rid our lives from that which is wrong. Fill our lives, put on the good that will cause us to be the kind of people that can get along with our brethren, have Christian unity, have forgiveness toward one another, because we're all weak and sometimes we even sin against one another. We must be careful of the distractions of this life as a part of our right choices. There are things that we should be focusing on, Christ and the work that He has given us. Avoid the distractions of life. Watch out for those temptations that Satan will dangle before you, because he knows each and every one of our weaknesses. He knows the desires that he can use against us, and he will not fail to take advantage of the opportunities to ensnare us. And so we have to be alert. We have to be on guard. We have to be honest with ourselves and avoid putting ourselves in the dangers, in the places of temptations where we know we have a tendency to fall. Look out for the snares and flee from them. Avoid the dangers. The discouragements in life will be something that we have to face from time to time. Satan will use those as well. But when we're faced with discouragements of life, let's remember our tender and loving Father in heaven. Let's remember the promises that He has made us. Let us remember the assurance that He has given us that all will come to pass, that He will take us to be with Him one day if we make the proper choices in this life. Many choices are set before us as a church, as a people, as a body of believers that we must reflect upon and then take the right path in regard to. But let's talk about choices for youth. The youth are those young souls that are beginning their walk. Some of them have already obeyed the gospel. Some of them are members of the body of Christ. They are faced with many different challenges. The challenges that they face sometimes will be somewhat different, maybe even more intense than some of us have suffered or experienced in the past, when days may have been a little more innocent, times a little less worldly, as we might say, but they need help and they need guidance. And God's Word certainly gives us the direction that we need. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, listen to the words of Solomon that he writes. Verses 9 and 10 say this: "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." You see, we could, in the days of youth, say, "I'm young, I'm free." You know, youth can get to that point where they become very much independent. Think about the prodigal son. He got his inheritance. He went off. He was young. He was excited about what he could do with all this that he had. And then he wasted his inheritance with extravagant living. He rejected his father's will. He delved into the life of sin. He made a wrong choice. You know, you can look around you in life and you can say, "Look at all these buddies and pals of mine. I'm going to do like they do. I'm going to have the fun and live it up in this life. I'm going to enjoy all this in my youth." But God says through Solomon here, "But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment." We all have to remember, and that includes when we're young, that we're accountable people. We have to give an answer for what we do. When you're very young and you're at home with your parents, you know that, you know, you have to answer for what you do. There are going to be consequences for choices that you make. And when you're young and you leave home, you need to remember there's still a Father in heaven who's going to hold you accountable for the choices that you make. Make the right choices, He says. Live according to His will. He says, remove sorrow from your heart. Don't look at the restraints, the rules, the regulations, the fact that you cannot be like everybody else as something just to weep and to be sorrowful over. There's no sorrow in that. Put away that kind of thinking. Understand the way that is good and right, the way of God, is the way of life, eternal life, the way of blessings that will never end. Put away the evil from your flesh, He says. There are many fleshly temptations, snares, desires that Satan will use against us. Remember that the Lord not only requires us to be pure in the flesh, don't commit adultery, don't commit fornication, He says you be pure in the mind as well. So you don't engage in activities, in behaviors that take your mind where it should not go, full of lust, desire that you're not ready for, that you're not granted to have yet. That is within the bonds of marriage where that's lawful and right. Outside of marriage, conduct yourself in such a way that you can keep your mind pure. Save your mind for the marriage relationship where God has granted you the right and the blessing of fulfilling the desires He has made you with in the proper fashion. But remember the will of God in all that you do. And of course, in the verses that follow in chapter 12, from verse 1 on, he talks about making those right choices. because the days will come when we grow old and things will be different. Lay a solid foundation in your youth, he says in verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. And he talks about the way in which the body, in symbolic language, becomes old, it breaks down, it becomes weaker, and so forth. Remember God, verse 6, before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well, when the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Remember God, he says, when you're young. That's the solid foundation. That's the time when you need to have your heart set upon God so that you can lay a path that you will continue on all your days. Because one day, the silver cord will be broken. It'll be snapped. Your life will flee from you. The water will just drain from that pitcher that is broken. Your life will go away. The body says one day, the spirit will leave. And then it's too late to care about God and His Word and what's right and important. We must choose the Lord in the days of our youth. There are choices for nations as well. In Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. We know that we as individuals need to understand this is what it all boils down to. And even for us as individuals that live within the nation in which we live, we understand that God, He as our Creator, wants us individually to be an influence, a light in our nation, to try to lead others to Him, because the fate of a nation is dependent upon the practices of its people. And where a nation shows regard and fear for God's law, good things can result. But where a nation departs from God, rejects His Word, chooses the path of evil, there are consequences to that as well. Proverbs 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Joshua called upon the nation of Israel to make a choice back in their early days. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, he said, now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. He was telling them the right choice to make. As a leader, that's what you do. As a leader, you tell your nation, you choose God. You choose the way that is right. But unfortunately, we often don't have such leaders to lead us. They're not going to be. When is the last time you voted for a faithful Christian? You know, you haven't, have you? You have to basically choose from what you had to choose from. Choose the lesser of the evils, you might say. As God's people, we must choose what is right and choose, as He says, for our own selves, for our own families, the way of the Lord. We want that to be our nation's choice. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, he says, we will serve the Lord. And so we as a people, individually, as our families, as a congregation, that's our desire. We want our nation to do the same. We've got to try to the best of our ability to influence our friends, family, neighbors, people around us, influence those in power by writing to them, telling them what we believe, what is right, the way that it should be based on what God's Word teaches. Pressure them. That's what they act upon. That's what they give regard to in the direction that is right, in the direction that is good and holy. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 6:16, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Sometimes Nations, though warned, will not take heed. But Jeremiah was faithful to warn all the days he had on the face of this earth to try to get them to turn back to God. That has to be our attitude and our demeanor as well. Tell people to turn back to the way of truth, where the old paths are, so that God can have and will have mercy. We're to be a light among men. Our example can be a powerful influence. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5 and verse 16. What does our conduct say to the people around us each day? Is it an influence for good? What about our teaching? We're to go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to every creature. Hebrews chapter 5, comes a time when we ought to be teachers, conveying God's message to the lost around us. We can have an impact in that regard. And as we've said as well, even our influence upon our political process, we can try to make a difference. Sometimes, you know, we're looking at, and a lot of Christians are talking about it, the choices that we're presented with in this particular election, and you look at the individuals and what they represent just personally and individually. We see great issues, you know, with them as in terms of their conduct, their character, things like that. I think it's important to note that, you know, casting a vote is not saying that you endorse everything about a person. You know, when God raised up various leaders to accomplish His will, He certainly did not endorse everything that those lives reflected. If He chooses Nebuchadnezzar to destroy as His judgment Jerusalem and carry off people into captivity, He would do so, but He would then bring that man into judgment for the choices that he made because of his personal choices for what he did. Sometimes we have to look past the individuals and look at the consequences of our choices, the platforms that are represented in our particular case, because the platforms stand for sometimes the proper values in terms of marriage, in terms of their stand on homosexuality and things like that, same-sex marriage. Sometimes the platforms stand for particular rights of the unborn and hold a particular truth concerning the practice of abortion. And you have to look at, too, things relating to whoever comes into power, what kind of justices will they appoint to the Supreme Court? And think about the consequences of those types of things. Even though when we look at certain individuals, those people, we have problems with how they live and what they say and some of the things that they do. Sometimes it comes down to choices relating to, again, the lesser of evils. So we have to think about who we choose to put into office and what might happen as a result, and even the consequences of perhaps not even voting at all as well. So there are things to consider, things to, in our own hearts, make a decision based on the information we have and upon the desire that we have as far as the outcome for our nation and what each of those decisions could be. So we have to do the best we can and try to work things out in our own mind to do what would please God and what would benefit our nation as best we can figure. As we think about choices then, it's important for us individually to make the right choices as a church, as a congregation, to be a people who are dead set against allowing sin to live in our lives, but mortify, put those things to death. For our youth, give them direction and guidance in the ways of God. Show them, yes, you can choose, but God is going to hold all of us accountable for the choices that we make. We need to fear God, reverence Him, lay a solid foundation, and serve Him all the days of our lives. And of course, as a nation, we want to see our nation turn back to God. Let us be the influence that we can upon our nation for good, for right. Let us be examples. Let us speak forth the word of truth. Let us try to make a positive influence upon the direction that the nation takes in terms of who we appoint to office. And let us, in all things, humble ourselves before our God so that He might be glorified through the choices that we make, that they are, in fact, in keeping with the direction and guidance that He gives us in His Word. Today, you might need to make a choice in regard to your own salvation. You may not have chosen yet to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, been baptized, in other words, so that your sins can be forgiven. You may not have turned away from your sins and made that commitment to live for the Lord, confessed His name. But all of those things can be a part of a decision you make today to put on Christ, to become a part of the Christian family, to believe in Him, repent, confess, and be baptized, and then begin your walk, your journey with the Lord within His family. But if you've wandered from the fold, if you've sinned in your life, and you've transgressed, wandered, whatever your situation may be, and you need to come home to the Father, we urge you to reflect upon the fact that the Lord could come at any time and that we need to be ready and prepared. His invitation is, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So if you need to come today and receive that rest, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing.